ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. When we start to focus on all the things that are happening in our lives, as we look at these things through our physical eyes, we're overwhelmed and discouraged, all kinds of problems. And I'm not saying you just ignore things, because you can't. These are things that are happening in our lives. It's what we do with them. If we put them on our shoulders, eventually we're going to break, because we can't handle it all. And God never said, put it on your shoulders. He said, put it on my shoulders. The Lord can handle all of our problems. And if you don't think so, look at creation itself. Look at all the things that are going on. Our universe, all the planets, all the moons, all the stars, comets, meteors, all these things. He's got them all under control. So can He handle my problem? Absolutely. Can I trust Him and lay that problem at His feet and rest in Him? You see, that's the issue. And that's what Paul is saying in Colossians here. Get refocused. Focus on the Lord. Look at life through spiritual eyes. Because God is in control. He'll see you through somehow, some way. And we need to allow the Word of God comfort and encourage us and give us the correct perspective on things. And no matter how difficult things may get, Paul said, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's a precious promise to us. No matter how bad it is on earth, we're going to be with Jesus one day, and that will never end. We're going to be taken to glory, and it doesn't get any better than that. See, this is not, our life is not just here on this earth. Our life is eternal, and this is part of our life, but really our life is with the Lord. Now, back here in Joshua 5:14, Joshua said, are you for us or for our adversaries in verse 13? Here in verse 14, he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Isn't that a strange answer? Are you for us or against us? No. What do you mean, no? That's not the proper response to the question. What's the problem here? Well, the problem is that the question that Joshua was asking this man was wrong. It's not the right question to ask. What do I mean? This is no ordinary man. It's pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus or a Christophany. And I'll deal why I believe that this is the Lord a little bit here, and once again as we look at verse 15 of Joshua 5. But first of all, that term, army of the Lord, is speaking of God's angelic army, sometimes called the host of heaven. He is the commander of the armies of heaven. Psalm 103, verse 19 through 21. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. The Lord is the one who is in charge of the angels of heaven, and they go forth obeying His word and doing His will for Him. Now, some people feel that this man is either Michael or Gabriel, archangels. I don't think so. How could I be so certain? Because we're told that once this man spoke, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped Him and said, what does my Lord say to His servant? This cannot be some powerful angelic being, because Joshua falls down to worship Him. And if this was an angelic being, this angel would say, stand up. Don't worship Me. I'm not God. He would rebuke Joshua for doing it. And we'll talk a little bit more as we get to verse 15 here in a little bit. But keep in mind, God alone is to be worshipped. Now, again, this response, no. He's asking Joshua, Joshua, are you for me or against me? See, that's the question. Joshua said, are you for me or are you for our adversaries? The Lord said, no, that's not at all. Are you for me? You see, that's the bigger question. And here's the thing. That's a great question for each of us to answer. Are we for him? Are we following him? Are we obeying him? It's not, Lord, I'm going to do this. Are you with me? Sometimes that's how we do things, right? I got this all planned out, Lord. You're with me, right? Wait a minute. You're putting the cart in front of the horse, in a sense. It should be like this. Here is what the Lord is going to do. Are you with him? Are you going to follow him? Are you going to obey him? Because it's not about my will being done, my plans or your plans. It's about the Lord. And are we going to follow him? Are we for him or against him in our actions? And the wonderful thing as you pray, as you study the scriptures, as you just come before the Lord, is that the Lord's will becomes your will. You're in tune. You know, I'll use the example of a marriage relationship. We're going to be married for 40 years coming up. 40 years? Is that crazy? But wonderful 40 years. But I have to say that because, no, I don't have to say that. Here's the amazing thing. We know what the other person is going to say or do. Sometimes we finish each other's sentences. It's kind of weird. How does that happen? Because we spend so much time together that our wills are entwined with each other. We know each other. That's how it should be with the Lord. And remember this. The Lord loves us. And man, if you're a believer, you've repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, God is for you. How can I be so sure? Because the Bible tells me so. And I believe it by faith. And I not only believe it, but then I have to apply that to my life or take what the Bible says and live it. And isn't that faith? I mean, you may not see it, but you know what God has said and you know what he has told you and you take that step of faith. And man, when you see faith in action, when you're exercising faith in your life, that muscle, faith muscle, grows. Just like our muscles, you know, lifting weights, we can get some muscles. I use the illustration many times about, you know, bodybuilders. Bodybuilders, they lift weights, right? For what? They look in the mirror and they show off their muscles. But what good is that? What does that do for you? I mean, if you do it, that's great. God bless you, man. But what is it doing for you? But when our faith in God is being exercised, our faith will grow. And God will keep stretching us and growing us and maturing us. And that's what it's all about. I mean, the things he's showing me now to do were different than when I first got saved. Because he has stretched my faith. And thus, we got to take what God has said to us and apply it to our life. Live it. In Psalm 56, verses 8 through 11, we're told, you number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What God wants us to see and understand is he's for us. And as you read through the psalm, you see some things that are amazing that come shining through. God knows what we're going through. He knows our wanderings. He knows the pain we endure. He puts our tears into his bottle. Isn't that amazing? He's got a bottle filled with our tears. He hears our heart's cry and he responds. We cry to him and the enemies turn away. We can know and trust what the Lord has told us because we trust in his word. And the result of that is confidence. I will not be afraid. Man can't touch me. You see how faith grew? Just trusting in God. God's for me, and no one could be against me and win. And I'm not saying it's easy, because there's a lot of people that come against us, but God's on our side. And no matter what happens, it's amazing how God sees us through. Just need to trust in Him. And, you know, we see it in the New Testament as well, that God is for us. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? And understand that in the Greek, it's not if. It's not that maybe God is for us and then maybe He's not. Paul's saying, since God is for us, who could be against us? No one. He's the one who's for us. In fact, Newell put it like this. He said, our weak hearts, prone to legalism and unbelief, receive these words with great difficulty. God is for us. They have failed Him, but He is for them. They are ignorant, but He is for them. They have not yet brought forth much fruit, but He is for them. I mean, how wonderful that truth is. And yet we doubt what God has said in His Word. We don't listen to the Lord. And what we end up listening to are the words of men, which is foolish. I'll show you what I mean. This is from Miss Alabama in the 1994 Miss USA pageant. Okay? If you could live forever, would you and why? That's the question. I would not live forever because we should not live forever. Because if we were supposed to live forever, then we would live forever. But we cannot live forever, which is why I would not live forever. Wow. And why? I don't know. Mariah Carey. Whenever I watch TV and see those poor starving kids all over the world, I can't help but cry. I mean, I'd love to be skinny like that, but not with all those flies and death and stuff. Did you hear what you said? I mean, wow, there is no compassion. It ends up being about her. But these are people that lots of people look up to. Brooke Shields, during an interview to become spokesperson for a federal anti-smoking campaign, which is a good thing. Smoking kills. If you are killed, you've lost a very important part of your life. She's right, I guess, right? Yeah. Mayor Marion Barry, Washington, D.C. This is years ago. Outside of the killings, Washington has one of the lowest crime rates in the country. Yeah, I guess if we take that out of the stats, things look good for us. Good job. George Bush, I love this. I have opinions, strong ones, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with them. I don't, okay. Jason Kidd, he was drafted to the Dallas Mavericks. We're going to turn this team around 360 degrees. I don't think I want you on my team because that means we're in the same place we've been. Okay. Hillary Clinton commenting on the release of subpoenaed documents when her husband was president. I'm not going to have some reporters pawing through our papers. We are the president. Well, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Mayor Daley, 1968 Democratic Party convention. Guy was brutal, but this is what he said. The police are not here to create disorder. They're here to preserve disorder. Exactly what they did, too. Australian Cabinet Minister Keppel Enderbury. Traditionally, most of Australia's imports come from overseas. It's an island. Yeah, it's a... Okay. Philadelphia Phillies manager Danny Ozark. Half this game is 90% mental. I don't get that. Pratt & Whitney spokesman explaining why the company charged the Air Force nearly $1,000 for ordinary pair of pliers. This is important. This is what we're paying for as taxpayers. Pliers. They're multi-purpose. Not only do they put the clips on, but they take them off. $1,000 for the pliers because they put them on and take them off. Frank Rizzo, ex-police chief and mayor of Philadelphia. The streets are safe in Philadelphia. It's only the people who make them unsafe. That's kind of true. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Philip Streifer, superintendent of schools, Barrington, Rhode Island. After finding no qualified candidates for the position of principal, the school board is extremely pleased to announce the appointment of David Steele to the post. Ow! That hurts. We don't have any qualified people, but David, you're our man. Good job. Department of Social Services, Greenville, South Carolina. Your food stamps will be stopped effective March 1992 because we received notice that you passed away. May God bless you. You may reply if there is a change in your circumstances. Man, if there's a change in their circumstances, they're not going to be on food stamps anymore, right? That's an awesome thing. Mark S. Fowler, he's the FCC chairman. If somebody has a bad heart, they can plug this jack in at night as they go to bed, and it will monitor their heart throughout the night. And the next morning when they wake up dead, there'll be a record. I don't really care if there's a record after I died, you know? And lastly, Colonel Gerald Wellman, ROTC instructor. We do not necessarily discriminate. We simply exclude certain types of people. Very nice, yeah. I'll buy it. Here's the thing. Why don't we trust the Lord? The Lord doesn't have to say, well, you know, I didn't really mean that. That was a mistake. What the Lord says he means, okay? And we need to listen to him. We've got to trust in the promises of God because they're true. And what man says may come to pass and it may not. It may be helpful, it may not be helpful. And so the thing is, what side are you on? Because there's only two sides. One side is living in rebellion against God and the other is living for the Lord. One side is being at war with God, one side is living for the Lord. And once you have made that commitment, you repented of your sins and you asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, you can trust the promise, since God is for us, who can be against us? No one. And I love what Paul goes on to say in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39, talking about God's love for us. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That love relationship we have with him that began the moment we got saved. I think Paul is using that phrase, the love of Christ is a synonym for salvation. He's speaking about believers and how that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And again, here in Joshua 5, Joshua was the leader, the military leader over the children of Israel. But here comes Jesus, the commander of the Lord's army, over the angelic host, over all. And what I want you to notice is what the Lord instructs Joshua to do in Joshua 5:15, because it's interesting as they are preparing for battle against Jericho. Look at Joshua 5:15. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. The last point I want to bring out is worship brings victory. And it's kind of interesting, but you'll see how that plays out. You know, we've talked a little bit about this already, that this man is none other than a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Again, notice what it says in here. The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. There's similar words to what the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 3, verses 5 through 6, at the burning bush. In fact, Jesus in John 8:58 said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, look, I am the voice from the burning bush, all the way back to Exodus 3. And I'm the same person here in Joshua 5. And the Jews really struggle with this man being God. Because if they say he's just a man, why is this holy ground and why is Joshua worshiping him? That's a big deal. Why? If this isn't God, why is he being worshipped? Why is this holy ground? The only reason is because this is Jesus. And again, we talked a little bit about it, but in Revelation 19:10, as an angel is speaking to John, this is what took place. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. God is the one who is to be worshipped. And as I've said, he is holy. And wherever he's at, there is holy ground. Now, one other point is, he's got his sword drawn, right? It's interesting because in Revelation 19, he comes back to destroy those who are in rebellion against him with the sword. Interesting. This has to be Jesus. It can't be an angel or anyone else. Now, here's the thing. By taking the sandal off, holy ground, we're talking about worship here. He's telling Joshua, you need to worship. And I think that's kind of an important thing, because in the church today, we have lost sight of what worship is all about. Worship ends up being entertainment. It's how I feel. And it's deteriorating into some things that are mystical and not of God. One writer put it like this. He said, many years ago, I went to a wealthy suburban church that had a sermon title, had sermon titles such as, What Would Jesus Say to Bart Simpson? And that. For its youth day, had its teenagers stream down the aisles dressed like inner-city gang members as they rapped out the opening hymn with the appropriate gang-like hand gestures. More recently, I attended a church that showed hilarious homemade video clips to season the sermonette. I have also heard about a church that hands out free popcorn as you enter the sanctuary, and another where everyone bounces around a beach ball during the worship as the band is performing. Although these examples are perhaps extreme, they show a growing trend. Today, as our churches overflow with folksy entertainment and raw authenticity, we live in one of the most sacrilegious and blasphemous church cultures in the history of Christianity. No joke. And that was written several years ago. And I realize a lot of people don't think this is a big problem in the church, but it is. Let me share this with you. Someone who went into a service said, as I entered the dark room with flashing bright colorful lights that were cutting through the darkness like lightning bolts, I instantly questioned whether I had entered the doors of a church or had stepped into a nightclub. The loud music and the immediate comment by a friend that it's like we're at a party only helped to emphasize my thoughts. Clearly, I wasn't used to such visual drama at a church service, or maybe it was just my age beginning to show. A rising confusion on whether one is in church, nightclub, or party may signal a need to reflect on whether the church has lost the plot. I recently watched an interview with a mega church member who was attracted to the church because there was music and they thought it was like a party. They weren't really going there to get a connection with God, but just to have fun. What gave them hope was the sensation of happiness. Sometimes I get the impression that the church is trying so hard to make the gospel attractive to this generation that they have turned it into a marketing scheme that people can buy into. So much time is spent trying to appeal to the masses that the church ends up forgetting who they really are and what the church is really about. We started as a desire to glorify God and make him known, now appears to have been placed on the back burner. When one enters a church, should they really be trying to figure out whether they're in a church or a social party? Is this what God intended for the church in a place of worship? Entertainment and a feel-good theology appears to be the trend in churches today, but I believe this was never meant to be the church's prime directive. It's the church's responsibility to demonstrate to Christians and non-Christians alike that what we do isn't about entertainment, but it's all about worshiping God in spirit and truth. If we were to take away all the lights, computer graphics, pounding music, and all the things we use to create an ambience, would people still come to church? Or do people heavily rely on these things to be able to worship God? Furthermore, do we attend church to worship God, or do we simply attend church because it makes us feel good? We need to be honest about our intentions and know who it is we're lifting our hands up to. Continually remembering that the very essence of worship is not found in these tools, but is found in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him that our praises should be directed to. Otherwise, we may be guilty of breeding a form of Christians that are in it for pleasure and not true salvation, self-pleasing and not God-pleasing. As soon as it no longer feels good, they abandoned the faith. You know, the Lord said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot. The place where you stand is holy. Our worship needs to be in reverence to the Lord.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.